And there's a lot more money in movies than there is in bodybuilding at that time.
Oh, yes. Good point. Good. That's what I mean. It's a professionally, even stigma wise, image wise, it wasn't tennis, right? It wasn't golf. It wasn't a pro football. It was still bodybuilding trying to etch its way in.
Welcome to the world of muscle, smoke and mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding and state of mind.
Hey, listener, you're back with another episode of The World of Muscle with your host, Tamash, and Randy.
Good morning, Tamash.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Very good.
This is going to be episode 29, and the idea came from a listener and reader of your latest book. His name is Anthony Corradini. Thanks, Anthony, for your feedback and your messages, because if it wasn't for you letting us know about this clip, we wouldn't have known. So let's go back to what it's about. Anthony sent us an email with a link to an interview from Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. I guess it was a podcast before it was a podcast. It's more of a radio show.
Yeah, it was a radio show. When I got Anthony's email, my first response was, Anthony asked, he liked the books, and he asked, why did I not use comments from Arnold in the 2007 interview PWB? I didn't recognize the PBW. Acronym, again, another acronym, right? And so I said, Anthony, honestly, I just wasn't aware of it. And but can you tell me more? And sure enough, he was really excited. He sent me the link and I went and I listened. And it was Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. And when I heard the interview, then they talked to Franco the week before. I remember I had listened to it because I listened to Franco. Then I listened to Arnold. And it wasn't long before that they did an interview, I believe, with Ben Weider, because they were asking Ben about Wayne, because Wayne had just done his pro division show in 2006, I think the year earlier. So I did see that interview with Arnold, but I had just forgotten about it. So we have it queued up that you can play it.
Yeah, and here it goes.
Governor, your final Olympia title came in, obviously, a surprise comeback of 1980 after a five-year layoff. We've heard many stories over the years as various reports as to why you chose to come back and get another Olympia title when clearly you didn't really need it at the time. One story says it's you were getting in shape for Conan and you were just in great shape, decided to go in. Another report says, more interestingly, that it was basically against you wanted to kind of prove a point to the new guys that you were still the top dog, in particular to Frank Zane.
You know, I think it is a combination of all of those things when I look back at it. The first and most important thing was that I was training for the Conan movie. And the Conan movie was supposed to start end of the summer, beginning of fall. And then all of a sudden they postponed the movie. And I felt like as it's ever, you know, I've been training now for 6 months really hard for this movie. Now they postpone it again. Who knows if it goes to spring or so. So I said to myself, I got to find another motivation. So I said, well, I think in November, beginning of November, whenever the date was of the Mr. Olympia in Australia, I'm going to go and compete in that competition. And that will keep me going with my training and all this. And at the same time, I also felt like I think it's a good idea to compete because, you know, these guys have been, you know, in their interviews talking about that, the day's bodybuilders are much better than when Schwarzenegger was around. I think we could all beat him now, and all of this dialogue started. So I think that also motivated me to jump in this. It was a combination of things altogether. Was it the right decision? I couldn't tell you that today. It might as well just it was maybe the wrong decision, the wrong motivation, and all of those things, because the fact of the matter was I was an established bodybuilding champion. I was someone that has preached over to entertainment. I now have been making money from doing the movies. So why would I take, you know, something like this, a title like this, away from the guys? But it definitely, you know, I always had a big ego, and that also came into the play and this whole thing. I competed, and I barely won. I mean, I remember that. I barely won. I mean, it was really like a hair-raising experience because in the afternoon, I remember Bill Pearl, who was the head of the judges, came to me and said, you placed third in the afternoon at the pre-judging. So I said to myself, but how many points? He says, 2 points. So I said to myself, well, there is a chance to make up the 2 points in the final pose-off and in the evening show. And I remember that I did everything I could, you know, no matter what it took, that to pose and pose and pose and pose and to look as confident as possible and to be as good as possible in the evening to make up for those 2 points and to actually then win.
Now, Governor, let me ask you this really quick. Now, you said that Bill Pearl said, I think you're in third place. What went through your mind at that time? Because you've never placed third up to that point. You either always won, and the last time you did lose, of course, was years before that when you were just a young man, still getting finding your way up to the top. But what went through your mind when he said, I think you're in third place?
I immediately accused myself of being a major idiot. Loser. You know, I said to myself, Arnold, loser, idiot. You know, you're going to lose this. You haven't gotten your act together. You know, it's like self-punishment right away, which I'm always very good in doing, beating up on myself. And but then I snapped into gear and I just said, okay, now I have to just do everything I can to make the Porter's off. I have one more chance, which is the evening show. And I was very fortunate that I pulled it off and that I lost enough fluid in my body. Because in the afternoon, I still had too much fluid, and then through all the posing and orders, I got really ripped. So by the time the evening came around, I was in better shape than in the afternoon and then won.
Okay, so that's the end of the clip. What have you to say, Randy?
Okay. Oh, now that you've heard it, do you remember all hearing that interview at all any time back in 9 years ago? That's the first time you've heard it?
I don't. No, this is, not right now, but earlier. Before, when we decided to do the show, as you put your hand up, let's talk about this.
Well, I found it very, very interesting. See, at the time I had listened to it, 2007, I hadn't started writing on the 1980 and 81 Mr. Olympia. So it was just, they were just comments to me. But now that I've researched it, some of his comments are quite interesting. He's right. The Conan filming did get postponed and such, but there's the rumors are always, why did Arnold come back? And because, as I wrote in book one of volume three, to me, bodybuilding still at that time, even though it was ready to it was insurging into mainstream at that time, it was still a step backwards professionally for Arnold, because Arnold had just filmed The Villain the year before Dan Margaret and Kirk Douglas. He had done Stay Hungry in 76 with Sally Field and Jeff Bridges. And he was... Just before the 1980 Mr. Olympia, he had just finished filming the Jay Mansfield story where he played Mickey Hargitay. So he was already in shape. Like, he was thinner through the middle 70s, 77, 78, 79, but he did get bigger. Not competition big, because they didn't even want him competition big in Conan. They didn't want him competition big in Stay Hungry, where he played a bodybuilder. I remember I thought that was quite ironic that he was too big to play a bodybuilder in 1976, which is kind of ironic. But even in Conan, they didn't want him to be bodybuilding size. So he was, in fact, training in August, and they did postpone it later. I think it was supposed to be November, then it got postponed again. But the question was, for him to decide in a whim, well, there's one thing to be training for a movie. It's another thing to be training for Mr. Olympia. And there's books that Franco said, what the hell, go in it. But then the rumors were, like, Frank Zane, at the end of the 1979 Mr. Olympia, Arnold asked Frank how it felt for the third time winning Mr. Olympia, and Frank sent the zinger, actually, Arnold feels better than when I beat you in 1968, or something along those lines. And Arnold didn't like that. He was going to come back and teach Frank a lesson. And then there's...
Well, that was really good for the magazines, right? Because the little feud and rivalry.
Yeah, and it wasn't bullshit either. Arnold actually said, I remember hearing it. I remember watching it at the time when he said that. I was actually watching it because at that time, it was very rare to get bodybuilding on TV. So anytime we saw it on ABC's Wide World of Sports or CBS Sports Spectacular,
yes,
on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, I was dialed into it, right? But there was supposed to be other rumors, like Mike Mentzer, and Jack Neary quoted, he's going to come back and teach Mike Mentzer and Boyer Coe a lesson for making fun of his training. And I asked Boyer Coe, I said, "What were you actually making fun of Arnold's training?" Boyer said, he goes, he doesn't know where in the world Arnold that came from or why Arnold would even think that. Because Boyer said, I could care less how he was training at the time. And he said, I was most likely training very similar to him. So, again, that could have just been, media hyperbole and stuff. But Mike Mentzer was in his craw. You could tell that when you're reading through all the material back then, you could see, because Mike Mentzer, remember Arnold and Joe weren't so cozy in those later 1970s, as we saw with the Golds versus World lawsuit that dragged in Arnold and Sprague, and Weider was deposed and testified on behalf of Sprague's suit, where he was saying him and Arnold weren't so close at that time. And Mike Mentzer, even though he came from the high intensity Arthur Jones camp, he and Weider were getting more cozy. He was starting to write for Joe. And Mike was a good looking guy at the time. And Joe wanted, for the magazines, right? Joe wanted him on that magazine and writing for the magazine. And when you look at Mike's first book, he published the Mike Mentzer Method of Weight Training. I think that's the name of it. And I believe it was 1980. There's no mention of Arthur Jones in there, right? So Mike was getting under Arnold's skin. If you look at all the quotes that Arnold told George Butler, and Arnold was exaggerating. He said he just saw Mike, and Mike was horrified, and he went to see a psychiatrist and that. And when I'm talking to guys like Mark Martinez, who was there at Worlds, he said he never once saw Mike and Ray in Worlds gym training. They were at Goals, right? So some of the stuff, you don't even know if it really happened. Arnold's just bullshitting. But these are all the reasons Arnold came back to teach Mike and Boyer a lesson, to get back to Frank Zane to train for Conan. But in the book, I talk about what I think he came back, why he came back. Because for him, at that stage, he wanted to be in movies. When you listen to and talk to the guys, Arnold, as much as he loved bodybuilding, he wanted to be in the movies. And
there's a lot more money in movies than there is in bodybuilding at that time.
Oh, yes. Good point. That's what I mean. It's a professionally, even stigma-wise, image-wise, it wasn't tennis, right? It wasn't golf. It wasn't a pro football. It was still bodybuilding trying to etch its way in. And to go back at that stage for, what is it, $10,000 or $25,000, there's rumors that I think Arnold didn't even take the money from Graham. I think Graham lost money on that show. But it was more so when I go through, I believe he came back for Paul Graham. And Graham was wanting to shoot that movie, The Comebacks. And he Arnold owed Paul Graham, that I won't get into right now. But those, it's been everybody wondered why did he do it. The second thing I found interesting in that clip was what he's talking about with Bill Pearl. Bill Pearl was the head judge, but he recused himself. He stepped down from the judging when he saw Arnold was entering. Remember, Arnold kept it quiet right up until the day before. Only a few people knew he was going to compete. And when Bill found out, in the book, I remember Charles Gaines did not come to Sydney. He knew Arnold was going to enter, and he was afraid Arnold would want him to judge, and Charles did not want to get caught up in that. And Arnold and Maria were mad at him for quite some time. Bill found out later, right at, like I said, the night before, and he stepped down. So why he would approach Arnold in the contest and said, "You're third after the prejudging," which was not true. Arnold was ahead by 4 points in front of Frank Zane, who was in second at that time, and Chris Dickerson 4.5 points. So Arnold was not trailing by 2 points. So number one, Bill would not have privy to this information unless one of the other judges told him this. And if he did, it was wrong information that Arnold was trailing by 2 points, because he ended up winning the show. He did win the prejudging, but he won it 300 points to, I think, Chris's 290.
And you have all the stats in the book anyway.
Yeah, all the numbers are in there. I go through all the, because the shenanigans were with the swapping of judges and how the judges were changed around and Peter McCarthy removed and stuff. But Arnold did not have to come from behind. And Bill Pearl is quoted to John Ferris saying he believes Arnold did not enter that contest until he knew who the judges were. Because everybody who knows Arnold did not come back to lose. And same with pumping iron. Arnold retired in 1974, but it took money by Butler and his co-promoter escapes my mind, Gary. His last name is Gary. But they had an offer, Arnold, those rumors of $50,000 up to $100,000 to come back for that movie. And again, Arnold didn't come back to lose. Some people even speculate his wife, that's why Sergio wasn't allowed into that Mr. Olympia, because Arnold clearly won in 75. He looked great. Like, I have no problem with his.
Well, yeah, because there are also some shenanigans regarding Serge Nubre, and of course, Sergio wasn't allowed to compete. So there's always...
Lou wasn't ready to beat him at that time, and Serge Nubre was down several pounds from where he was a few weeks ago. But Arnold looked great. Like, I always thought he looked phenomenal in pumping iron. But I remember in 1980, when I think I mentioned this before, when I first... I didn't see the contest, obviously, but I saw the photos afterwards. And when I first saw Arnold, I thought, he doesn't look as big. But he still looks good. But I thought, then I saw his legs and thought, where are his legs, right? So I thought, well, that probably was a controversial decision. Like I said, the most telling photo was on the cover of his big encyclopedia of bodybuilding. Did you ever see that shot? They replaced it later on in a revised version. I think they put Tom Platz on. But the first shot of Arnold with his hands raised, I think we got a photo close to that in the book. His legs are, they're still good legs, but they're not Mr. Olympia legs.
And not what they were in 75.
No, 74, 75. 74, he was huge. He was. That's what Boyer said. If he showed up like he did in 74, he was like 20 pounds of muscle heavier. He said not many people would have complained. But when you see him from the behind, too, you can see it's not just his thighs. His hamstrings were down. His glutes were down. His back wasn't the same. There was a lot of things that weren't typical Arnold.
And I wonder how the conversation would have gone with the interviewers had they read your book, if they could have gone ahead in time.
At the time. But I mean, Arnold made it ahead. Arnold was governor when he did that interview. There's no way Arnold was going to allow any ambushing in an interview. He probably wanted to know all the questions up front because he's just to play it safe. And so we probably wouldn't have been able to just ask him anything we wanted to. So it might be not for... Oh, yeah, there's a lot of questions I would probably ask now. But a lot of people ask me, wouldn't it be neat if you would have talked to Arnold? I said, no, because Arnold is not going to tell me anything he doesn't want me to know or what he's only put in his books. He's not going to say, Randy, well, here's what I did. You know, I hooked up with Paul Graham. Paul guaranteed that he'd do the best to get the judges in my favor, and then I could enter at the last minute or anything like that. Because, you know, he kept the secret right to the very end. And there was judges change right at the very end. And that's what made the book different from anything else is the fact that I was able to talk to these people for the first time because some of them did not want to speak, you know, and had not spoken, but they had spoken up. And again, to Arnold's credit, there are still guys like Danny Padilla, Tom Platz, and Casey, who thought Arnold still had it to him. They said it was close, but they still would have given it to him. But most of the people I talked to, so if you looked at Arnold from head to toe and judge it right, he shouldn't have won. Because proportionally, his legs were not in proportion with his upper body. So he shouldn't have got, he almost got a perfect score there. I think he was 199 out of 100, almost perfect in proportion and symmetry. And he wasn't. Was it Joe Rourke who mentioned that? He showed his wife pictures of Frank, Arnold, and one other bodybuilder from behind. So she couldn't see it was Arnold. And she picked Frank. Right. So, and I've heard this before where people don't know who it is because Vince Basile brought up a good point. He said, when you're there, Arnold does have that charisma. And Tom Platz said it too. Nobody, in his opinion, stood up. Like Tom said, no, Arnold wasn't in his best shape, but nobody stood up to overshine Arnold in that manner. And Vince said, when you see Arnold and the way he is on stage, even though he's clowning around like a jackass sometimes, he does have that charisma. But when you look later at the photos, you'll see, like Vince said, he would have given Arnold the nod looking at it live. But when he looked at it, he had hundreds of photos and slides after. He said, no, he had Arnold down about sixth or eighth. He said all the other guys, you could see Arnold's flaws. Like even was it Peter Hardwick or Peter McCarthy mentioned that even at the front, Arnold knew how to hide his legs. When he'd show his legs, he'd do a crab to cover his legs and stuff. And if he didn't like posing, he just didn't do them.
Yeah, and the other part of it is it's hard to judge by photos, but that's all we have to go by now. I wonder what happened to the footage that TV station didn't, CBS, yeah. Did.
CBS, yeah.
That would be an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, several people have asked this because they not only have footage of the show, they had filmed Boyer, Dennis, Frank, and Menser an entire day in their lives leading up to the show. Right? So that's why they didn't even know. CBS didn't even know Arnold was going to compete. They would have had a whole day in his life too, right? And he was going to color commentate. Actually, Bill Pearl had replaced Arnold as color commentator for color commentary for CBS. So I don't know where the story came where Bill was telling him he's in third and such. He had tied for third in the posing. Mm-hmm. This is another thing that's confusing. Like, I mean, Arnold's never been criticized for being a bad poser. He does know how to show off his physique. So he skits a 99 out of 100 on the first round, where he should have been marked down for proportion issues. He gets a perfect score in the compulsory poses, where he doesn't do them. Then where you think he would score well in the posing, because the posing routine is not how great a poser you are only, it's how well you show your physique. Arnold scored down now. He scored down to 96, tied for third. So that's one place where he was just in that third posing round, tied for third. And then in the pose down, where he's just got to do the posing again, he's marked back up again, where he takes 5 of the 7 votes, right? And Chris Dickerson took 2. So the whole voting system was awkward. And like Boyer said, he doesn't believe anybody that they just sat down and said, here's what we're going to do. He believes a guy like Mitz, Reg Park, they're all caught in a position like, you know, they're so close with Arnold that they're, because Mitz Kawashima, he and Boyer were also good friends, but Boyer said Mitz never, ever spoke of that contest ever again until Mitz even admits to Mitz died, right? Mm-hmm. So he just didn't want to talk about it. So they got, and Charles Gaines was smart. He knew this too. And that's why he didn't go, because he would have gotten caught up in the same thing and he didn't want to. It was easy in 75. Arnold was a clear winner. But in 1980, he wasn't. And the mass equation did change, as I talked about. Arnold did, in fact, beat most of those guys before, but this was a different lineup. These competitors were 10, 15, 20 pounds heavier and leaner than when Arnold saw and competed against them 5 to 10 years earlier. Like, yes. Mentzer actually possibly outweighed Arnold at 6 inches shorter. Mm-hmm. That's how big. These guys were muscled from head to toe. Dickerson, Coe, Mike, and others, they were massed from head to calf. Like, Arnold's calves were still good. But when you look at those thighs and hamstrings and lower back and some of his other
parts. Even upper back.
Yeah, he wasn't the same like he was. Like, I still say that picture of Arnold on the cover of his
Education of a Bodybuilder.
The Education of a Bodybuilder. It's still freaky. Mm-hmm. It still stands today, right? Same with Sergio's pose in 72 with his two arms above his head and that tiny waist. It's like that pose, I don't think still anybody can do that pose anymore. Nobody can today because they can't get that wasp mm-hmm. waist, right? So I just thought we could talk a little bit more about the book and thank Anthony for bringing it up and bringing that clip back to mind, because I had forgotten about it.
And I never knew about it, so thanks, Anthony. Yeah. All right, Randy, is there any news and updates?
The article I wrote on the American Muscle Monopoly is going to be out in a couple of weeks, and we'll probably maybe do a show on that.
Okay.
Ready?
Thank you for the chat, and we'll talk again next week.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to The World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode, and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.